story about the two disciples walking out of Jerusalem to the town of Emmaus on the morning that, later the day that Jesus had risen from the grave. And it's a beautiful story, and there's so much just about seeing in that story. So I'm going to read the story to us this morning. So you're welcome to sit and listen where you can hear the word seeing or anything that is visible pop up in the story, just to see how much it appears. You can read with me if you'd like from Luke 24, verse 13 to 45. It's a story, so I'll just read the story. And just sit back and hear what comes to you, which phrase, which word, which verse just sticks in your mind. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were walking with each other, talking with each other all about these things that had happened. While they were walking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with him. So the resurrected Christ, Jesus, came to walk next to them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and ruler delivered him up to be condemned to death, crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides this all, now it's the third day since all these things have happened. Moreover, some of the women in our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they have even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him. And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is towards evening and the day is far spent." So he went to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They say to each other, "Burn within us," as he talked with us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures. And they rose at the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11, those who were with them, gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed. And so has appeared to Simon." And they told what happened to them on the road, and how he was known to them by the breaking of bread. We'll read a bit further just now. It's an amazing story for me about these two disciples. They weren't part of the 11, of the 12 initially. And they really loved Jesus. They journeyed with him. They were connected to the disciples. And now they're walking to Emmaus for whatever reason. On the first day of the week, they're heading to Emmaus, about 7 miles. And here comes Jesus walking alongside them, acting as if he has no idea about what happened with himself in the past 3 days. And then he has this moment, this encounter with them, without them realizing it's him. He speaks to them, asks them about all these happenings, and then he says they are slow of heart to believe what the scriptures have said about him. And then this amazing thing, the conversation that I would like to have been a part of, he started explaining to them all the scriptures in the prophets and the Psalms, the Old Testament, about himself. How many scriptures are there not in the Old Testament referring to Jesus? Referring to Jesus, referring to Jesus. And now we can go and look for it, but imagine him telling you those scriptures in person. I think that was an amazing moment for them. And they say later that were not our hearts warmed when he spoke to us on the road. So it absolutely resonated with their heart, indicating that there was something already inside of them that was longing for that, yearning for that. And then Jesus comes and he walks with them, comes to the town. He says, no, I want to go further. They urge him, no, stay. It's dangerous to walk at night. And it was dangerous to walk at night those days. They were saying the end of the day was approaching, so please don't go further. Stay with us. And then while eating, their eyes get opened. It's not as if they suddenly switched something on in their eyes and then all of a sudden they saw Jesus. He was revealed to them with the breaking of bread. Then they recognized him. So it's this kind of a divine action that took place. God preventing them from recognizing him, and then God revealing himself to them. And what's amazing is they ran back to Jerusalem on the scary road. After they told Jesus, please don't go further, don't travel at night. It's safer here, stay with us for the night. After this, they were so excited that they went back the 7 miles to Jerusalem. In a sense, risking some of their well-being and lives maybe in getting back, but that's how excited they were about this good news. Jesus has risen. So they head back to Jerusalem and they join up with the disciples, and the disciples said, yes, he even showed himself to Peter today. So I want to read the next section of this interaction between these two disciples, Cleopas and someone else, with the 11. As they were talking about these things, that's from verse 36, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace to you. Now just imagine that. You're discussing this weird happenings of the day. Two people came running back from Emmaus saying, Jesus appeared to us. And they were talking about this matter, and the next moment, boom, there's Jesus in the room. He says, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought that they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubt arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything to eat here? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Just showing to them that my body is physical. This is not a vision you're seeing. I'm eating something tangibly. And he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. This is so beautiful. It's the end of the book of Luke. And Luke picks up the story again with the ascension in the book of Acts, because it's the same writer. This was volume 1. The book of Luke is volume 1. Acts is volume 2. So it's not completely ending here, but he chooses to end this account of Jesus in this way, where he says, stay here in the city. I've appeared to you. This is who I am. I've showed you physically by eating. I am the risen Jesus himself in person. And then these little moments, this gems that happens where he says, I'm going to open, or not, he says, he just opens their minds to understand the scriptures as if something had been hindering them from seeing. Something had been hindering them from understanding the scriptures. In my life, I've loved the Bible since I was small. Some nights I fell asleep with the Bible, like almost like my teddy. So I had this amazing love for the Word of God, but weirdly, some things I just never saw in the scriptures. I just wasn't able to understand texts about the Holy Spirit. I just read over them. I was like, oh yeah, anyway. Until I got filled with the Spirit of God. And when I got filled with the Spirit of God, I read the same text and all of a sudden, here is the Holy Spirit. I've read it so many times, but now for the first time, I actually see the work of the Spirit inside the text. I don't know if some of you have had similar experiences, but it's just amazing how your eyes can be opened. And I think some of us have areas in which our eyes are still closed to the things that God wants to show us. That is why there is such a concept as revelation. We get revelation from God. It's not something that you work towards. You can spend the time in the scriptures that you need and pray, and in those times you might get revelation, but the thing is, you get revelation. You receive the gift of God opening your mind and your understanding and your spirit to understand something. So this morning, I would like to ask you, are you maybe aware of things that are hidden for you? Or is it a case of you have no clue what you don't know? Because I think both could be applicable. For instance, while they were walking on the road, Jesus was next to them. They didn't know that they were blinded to see Jesus. They were not aware of what they're not seeing. All right? So when Jesus revealed himself to them, it was this massive shock. It's actually Jesus, and I have not been able to recognize him. And the other example is with regards to scripture. The prophets and the Psalms, the books written by Moses, they knew it. They were students of it. They knew the word as we know the word. And there were some things that they didn't understand there. So they knew, I don't understand this piece of scripture. I don't understand what this is referring to. But then God opens their eyes and then they can understand that which they haven't understood earlier. So in this morning, what is your desire? Is your desire to be awakened to things that you have never seen? Or is your desire to be awakened to the things that you have seen, but you just have no clue in understanding it? So we'll get back to that question. In John chapter 24, there's a little broadening of the story where Jesus shows his hands and feet to the disciples. It's the story of Thomas, unfortunately nicknamed the Doubting Thomas, for not being there when this happened, not being there when Jesus appeared to the disciples. So then, when Jesus appears again and Thomas is there, Jesus reminds him of his own words, saying, Thomas said, unless I put my fingers in the holes and put my hand through his wound in the side, I won't believe. The perfect example of saying, seeing is believing. I want to see it, I want to touch it, then I'll believe. And then Jesus honors this request from him, and he gives them the opportunity to say, here are my feet, here's my side. And I think probably Thomas didn't even want to go put his fingers in Jesus' scars, because when seeing him, he actually believed. And then there's this beautiful scripture that refers to you. Jesus told Judas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed. This speaks into each one of our lives who believe in Jesus, saying that there's a blessing that you are getting that Thomas is not getting. He saw and then he believed. Blessed are you who have never seen Jesus Christ risen in the flesh, but still believe. So may your heart be strengthened by that, knowing that you have a special blessing from God, that you are able to believe in him because you've not seen, yet you still believe. And then you wonder, but why is God concealing things? You get the sense that he's hiding certain things from us. He was hidden from the face of the two guys on the road to Emmaus. They did not recognize him, even though he was there. And then there are scriptures where, like hard scriptures to understand, where God says that some people just will never see. I'm going to read one of those, Mark chapter 4, from verse 10 to 13. And it's speaking about the parables that Jesus was speaking. So it's a parable is this story in which God reveals a certain truth, but in a hidden way. He tells a story, a parable, of the Good Samaritan, for example. The Good Samaritan, that story didn't really happen. The Good Samaritan story is a parable that was told by Jesus, a story. But what is funny is if you would go to Jerusalem today, you'd actually find a place with the name that says, this is the hotel where the Good Samaritan brought the guy who had been beaten up. So if you go there one day, you're welcome to go and visit the place that actually has the wrong name, because it never happened. But there's this parables that Jesus tells, and it's difficult to understand. And the disciples tell him at some point, Jesus, please just explain to us these parables. And why are you speaking in parables? Because we don't understand what you're saying. The parable of the sower, the four different kinds of ground that there was, how are they supposed to know from themselves what it refers to? So Mark chapter 4 verse 10. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And they said to them, And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that, then he quotes the Old Testament, they may indeed see, but not perceive. They may indeed hear, but not understand. Lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The key there is in verse 11. To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. To those who believe are given secrets about the kingdom of God that you are able to understand. So I think there's a lot of things that me and you have that the world outside just does not have access to, because it has not been given to them. So you already have revelation from God, purposed for you to discover. It has been given to you to understand. So may your hearts be strengthened by that this morning, that there are certain things that you have knowledge about that many people outside in the world, outside of the church, has no clue about. It has not been given to them. You have been receiving that from God. I want to continue to the next parable. It's about a tree. Luke 13 verse 18 to 19. Jesus speaking. He said, "Therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it?" So Jesus has been speaking about this concept of the kingdom of God with his disciples, which in itself is an image that they don't fully understand. And by various parables, he says, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like. So there's these different pictures that they receive, that we receive, and that we can, in a sense, start stitching together to get a better understanding of the kingdom of God. So this is one example. It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden. And it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, extremely small, being hidden also, in a sense, under the ground. And from that position of being hidden, germinates and starts growing into a large tree. For what purpose? That the birds of the air made nest in its branches. It provided sanctuary. So this picture of the kingdom of God is saying it's something that's going to start small. It's something that has started small. And it had been hidden for many years. And it's coming forth, has been coming forth, and is this massive tree in which birds find sanctuary. And if we think about our theme of growing, we have been speaking about that. I spoke about being in Christ, rooted in Christ a month ago. This tree, this picture of the kingdom of God, is something to be understood by one of me and you, specifically for this church, for this group of people together. So getting practical, thinking about what you don't know, things that has been hidden to you, things that you know you just don't understand yet. This tree, the kingdom of God, this mysterious, massive tree. Maybe a question to ask is, which part of the tree am I? Which branch are you? Which piece of bark is you? And what is your role there where you have been placed? Second question, which part of this tree is this church? And I think many times in terms of church, we think we are the only tree. This body, we are the tree. We have roots. We have a stem. We have branches. We have leaves. We have fruit. We are the complete package. That's not the truth. We are not the complete package. We are a part of a massive tree that has been growing for thousands of years. What role do we need to play within the tree? What role is your role within this part, this branch, this leaf, this fruit? What is your role? And even if you were to at some point leave and go to a different denomination, you keep believing in Christ, you are still in the same tree, at a different spot, with a different role, or maybe the same role, just a different space, a different place. So think about, what would you like to ask God about this tree, about yourself, about our church in this massive tree? What do you think has been hidden from you at this stage about this picture? Where do you think is Jesus Are you on the road and he's next to you? You believe in him, but you just can't see him where you are. Or are you at the table? Or are you Thomas, who wasn't there? And you struggle to believe because you're not seeing it. I think one can feel slightly helpless when thinking about things that have been hidden to you, and almost in a sense you don't have power over it to make it be revealed to you. I don't know if you have felt that way. You just want to understand so hard. I just want to know so badly, but you're just trying to do it out of your own strength. You're trying to understand things without God giving it. Or you think, it should be by me. I should get this revelation. Meanwhile, the revelation has been given to another branch. And you're welcome to just ask them. And they can share that. I had a situation like that recently with me and Yanni, where I was frustrated, where I feel that God is saying certain things to her that I should actually hear. But now he's revealing it to her. He's telling me other things, but I feel that specific thing, I should have heard that. And we spoke to someone about the whole thing, and then while speaking to the person, I realized, well, that's not my role to know that. It's not my place to hear that from God. He can share that with me, but he has chosen Yanni to be the one to convey the message to me and my family. Well, I had to let go of that thing of controlling, needing to know. I needed to know this, which is actually just a reflection of my insecurity. So this morning, what is it that you would like to ask of God? And do you think that you're actually going to get it? Do you think that you're going to get what you're going to ask God or not? I want to go to the next slide there. Matthew 7, verse 7 to 8. Don't forget it. Please, don't forget this. Three things. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. There are no time frames connected to this in the scripture. And I think that's one of our big problems, our patience. Time frame. Jesus, I've asked you. I haven't received. There are different reasons why you maybe not get what you're asking for. One may be timing. And then the other one is just a really basic measure to know if you're going to receive what you asked. The phrase, to ask something in Jesus' name, is very powerful. And I think I've shared that a bit earlier. In Jesus' name. We attach to the end of our prayers because there's a scripture that says, whatever you ask the Father in my name will be given to you. In the book of John. So you're like, okay, I get this. So Jesus says, I need to ask something, and at the end I need to say, I'm asking this in the name of Jesus, now I'm going to get it. Almost as if it's a little key that you want to turn to say, the magic key is there, I'm going to get it now. To ask something in the name of Jesus can be explained like this. When I'm sent by a king to another place to go and ask them for something, this person that I'm asking is also within the kingdom ruled by this ruler, the king. So I'm Haynes and I'm walking to Pity. And I say, Pity, would you please give me this? I ask this in the name of that king. What you're actually saying is, I've come here on behalf of that king. In the name of that king, I have come. I'm a bearer of his name, so instead of him being here, I am here. Would you please give that to me? He needs it. Do you get that? Asking in someone's name is you're asking on behalf of that person. So now you can ask yourself, whatever I'm asking, knocking for, or seeking, is it something that Jesus would have sent me to do? Is it something that Jesus would have liked me to ask? For example, in James, he says, whoever needs wisdom should ask it from God, and it will be given. So what it's saying is, there are certain things that Jesus is going to give you, because you ask it as if Jesus himself was asking it. So if your prayer is not being answered, you can ask yourself the question, am I asking this on behalf of Jesus? Would he have asked the same question for the same situation or not? Because many times it's just our own desires that we push in there. So we're just pushing what we would have asked and then adding the phrase in Jesus' name. So in this morning, those who have been chosen by God, to them it has been given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. To you, people of God, have been given the ability to understand the mysteries of God. It is something that Jesus would like you to ask. So if you ask for revelation from God about his person, his kingdom, what he's busy with, his purposes, he's going to show you. Not necessarily in the time frame that you're asking, but at least what you're asking is absolutely in line with what he wants for you. Those who are outside of the kingdom are those mentioned here in this previous verse, saying that they may indeed see and not perceive, that they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. There are some people outside of the kingdom of God that's going to ask and ask and ask and never receive, because it has not been given by God. You who are in Christ, who have been saved by God into his kingdom, you have the ability to know things and are already in knowing some things that other people don't know about God's kingdom. So in this morning, I want to ask you, is it not true that seeing things in God's kingdom helps you to believe, but also believing in him helps you to see? By believing in him, it's easier to see and understand the parables. And by believing or seeing the results of things in the kingdom, things that are happening around us, by seeing that, your belief gets strengthened. When you get saved, it's a revelation from Christ to you that enables you to see him. And then you believe. So it is indeed true that seeing is believing, because it's God that enables you to see. Some people's minds have been darkened. They can't understand until God does a work in their hearts where he lets them see, and they see the light and they start believing. Other way around, when you believe, you start seeing all the more things in the kingdom. And as you're seeing it, you are being built up. Revelation is getting larger. You're getting to know Jesus better. We're coming back to that question. And we can focus on that in ministry time now. What is it that you want to ask of God? Just think about that. What is there in your heart that you would like to ask of God? Because he's a God that provides, that gives. So the band, you're welcome to come forward. And then we're just going to pray about that. We're going to pray about that this morning. What is it that is in your heart that you have a desperate desire to know, to hear from God? I have a desperate desire for Luke 24, verse 45. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. That's one of my heart's longings, is to understand the scriptures. I would like to have my mind opened by God to understand the scriptures. So what is your desire? What is the longing of your heart? What is the longing that God has placed inside of you? So the band will just play in the background and we can just spend some time on that. Father God, we thank you that you are the God who sees, and you're also the God who reveals. I speak truth this morning, Father God, into every heart. The truth of your word in Matthew 5 and Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, seek, knock. It will be given. It will be opened. You will receive it. In Jesus' name, I pray now, Father God, that you'd stir faith and belief in our hearts, Father God, to ask, to knock, to seek. And the things that we're knocking about, Father God, may it be you that we're seeking. I want to pray in this morning the scripture over all of us, that those who seek God with their heart, with their soul, with everything in them, will find him. If you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Pray, Father God, in this morning, in every heart now, create a stirring and a longing for seeking you, Jesus, who you are, what you've done. Father God, I come and just come and pray Proverbs 2 from verse 4 just over us. Father God, if you seek wisdom like you search for silver and as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For God gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. I'd like to invite you just to keep on praying about what God is laying on your heart. But if there's a desire in your heart that you feel you need to pray with someone about this desire, you're welcome to come forward. Then we're going to have a time of ministry. So if there's something that you feel you really need to pray with someone about this now, you're welcome to come forward. Father God, this morning, I just want to come speak. I want to declare, Father God, that these people are your children, God. And to them have been given the ability to understand the things of your kingdom. Pray, Father God, that you would come and reveal that to them. Jesus, day by day, week by week, year by year, would you come and reveal your heart to us, your will to us, your understanding to us, Father God. I pray for wisdom, Father God, where it's really something practical that you can give to people, Father God. Give wisdom, Jesus. Wisdom to honor you, wisdom to search for you even further, Father God, and wisdom to apply in daily living, Jesus. To apply in how we get from point A to B. About what point A or B is going to be, Father God. For wisdom, insight, understanding in just living life. And pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Jesus, that we can be part of a very large tree, which is the kingdom of God, that puts out its branches, Father God, to provide sanctuary for others. And that we as individuals, Father God, form a small part of that. And our church forms a small part of that. But thank you that we're part of the tree and that we may belong to you. I pray that you teach us, Father God, what to do as part of this tree, to let the branches grow, to let it extend, to create more space for others to find sanctuary within it, God. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus, and I pray, Father, that you would fix in our hearts, Jesus, that which you have revealed to us in this morning. May we savor it, Father God. May we chew on it. May we really get everything out of it that you want us to get, Jesus. Pray a blessing over every heart, every family, Father God, of this church being represented here and those who aren't with us this morning, Father God. Let your hand of wisdom, protection, understanding, love and guidance be all on all of us. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.